Imagine putting your entire life savings into like a perfectly secure, unhackable vault. You close the heavy door, you spin the dial, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that your wealth is completely safe.
Right, the ultimate peace of mind.
Exactly. But then, a week later, you realize you lost the key. And because this vault is so flawless, I mean, no locksmith on earth can help you. Your money's right there, sitting just inches away, but it is gone forever.
Just completely out of reach, yeah.
So welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are exploring this quietly terrifying, but honestly, utterly revolutionary world of digital wealth. We're talking about the custody of tokenized assets.
Yeah, and it is, well, it's the absolute bedrock of digital investing. It rarely gets the flashy headlines, you know, like a massive market rally does, but without custody, the entire digital economy just completely falls apart.
To guide our journey today, we're pulling from an incredibly comprehensive guide featured on the Gamma blog titled Securing Ownership: A Guide to Custody of Tokenized Assets. And our mission here is to look way beyond the hype.
Right, past the buzzwords and the double-digit returns.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to decode the actual foundation of digital wealth. Like, how is ownership recorded when there is literally no physical paper? How is it protected from hackers? And I think most importantly, how do you actually enforce that digital ownership in the real world?
The stakes here are just existential for anyone putting money into this space, because tokenization, which, just as a refresher, is representing real-world property or commodities or funds digitally on a blockchain, it's expanding rapidly.
It's everywhere right now.
Right, we are moving physical wealth into a space made entirely of code. But even the most lucrative, perfectly structured real estate token in the world, I mean, it's completely worthless if you can't definitively prove you actually own it.
So let's start with the basics. Because for decades, when we talked about wealth, we were talking about things you could physically touch.
Yeah, gold bars, paper deeds.
Exactly. Gold bars in a safe, stock certificates locked in a heavy steel filing cabinet. You could literally feel the weight of what you owned. If you want to protect it, you just built a thicker wall or bought a heavier lock. The security was as physical as the asset itself.
That's a great way to put it.
So what does custody actually mean now that the heavy metal vault is, well, gone?
It helps to look at the traditional financial system first. Think about institutions like central depositories or major banks, traditional brokers. For the last century, their primary job has been to safeguard paper securities.
Right, holding on to the physical proof.
Yeah, and maintaining these massive centralized registries of who owns what. They have literal armies of accountants and massive databases locked in secure server rooms to track every single trade. So custody is the entire infrastructure designed to protect those records and assure they're accurate.
Okay, so when I buy a share of a traditional stock today, I'm not getting a piece of paper in the mail anymore. A custodian somewhere just updates a database that says my name is attached to that share.
Precisely. And digital custody of tokenized assets operates on a very similar foundational goal, which is protecting your claim to an asset, but the underlying mechanics are radically different.
Because there's no central bank holding the master list.
Right. Exactly. Instead of a centralized database controlled by one massive bank, tokenized assets rely on decentralized digital records. Those digital records are doing all the heavy lifting now. They identify who owns which specific portion of an asset, and they define the exact rights that are attached to it.
Rights like voting power or getting paid
Yeah,
dividends.
exactly. All of that is baked into the digital record.
Okay, and custody in this new world is the framework that ensures those specific digital records are accurate, tamper-resistant, and completely protected from unauthorized access.
You've got it.
Which is why you, as an investor listening to this, need to care deeply about this topic. I mean, custody isn't just some boring IT problem. It is fundamentally about your protection. Clear custody prevents fraud, it prevents loss, and it stops ownership disputes before they even happen.
Because at the end of the day, trust is the actual currency of finance. I mean, if an investor doesn't trust the system holding their asset, they just won't invest.
Right, they'll take their money elsewhere.
Exactly. When your ownership is clearly recorded and, crucially, independently verifiable, it builds a massive amount of confidence. Think about highly stressful situations like regulatory reviews, audits, or even legal disputes over an inheritance.
Oh, yeah, inheritances can get really messy.
They absolutely can. Having clear, mathematically verifiable custody records is often the deciding factor in how quickly and fairly those issues get resolved.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit, because we are basically moving your wealth from a physical bank vault where you can see the heavy metal door and the security guards into an invisible digital vault.
That's a good analogy.
So my big question is, how do we know the digital guards are actually doing their job?
Well, the digital guards are built out of secure digital ledgers. And in the context of tokenization, this almost always means a blockchain-based system. The security of a blockchain relies heavily on a concept called immutability.
Right, immutability. Yeah. We hear that buzzword thrown around constantly.
Yeah.
But what does it actually mean in practice? Like, how does it physically or digitally secure the vault?
Think of immutability like a digital game of Jenga. In a blockchain, every single transaction, whether that's the initial creation of a token, a transfer to another investor, or a payout of dividends, is permanently logged in a block.
Okay, so a block is just a record of an event.
Exactly. And each block is mathematically sealed to the block that came right before it using some really complex cryptography.
So they are chained together, hence blockchain.
You got it. Chained together chronologically. So if a hacker tries to pull out an old block to change a record, say they want to redirect your token to their own account, the mathematical link is broken.
Oh, wow. So the whole structure reacts.
Yeah, the math suddenly doesn't line up. The whole digital Jenga tower essentially collapses, and the entire network instantly recognizes the tampering and rejects the change. You just cannot alter or delete history.
That is a brilliant way to picture it. The math itself acts as the security guard. And this brings up a massive shift from traditional finance, right? Because traditional systems operate completely behind closed doors.
Very much so.
You have to blindly trust that your broker's internal database is accurate, but you can't, like, go into their server room and check it yourself.
But digital custody systems allow for continuous verification. Because the ledger is distributed, investors and auditors can look at it at any time.
Just totally out in the open.
Yeah, they can mathematically confirm that the number of tokens circulating in the market perfectly matches the actual real-world assets that were originally issued. It basically takes the entire financial system out from behind closed doors.
Okay, hold on. I have to stop you there. Here's where it gets really interesting, but also where I want to push back a little bit.
Sure, go for it.
A mathematically perfect, tamper-proof Jenga Tower ledger sounds fantastic in a vacuum. But what happens when we hit the real world? If a local county judge looks at my tokenized house deed during a property dispute and says, I don't care what your computer code says, this isn't a legal document, then my perfect ledger is totally useless, right?
Well, that's more than useless, honestly. It's a massive liability. And you've just touched on perhaps the single most critical vulnerability in the entire digital asset space. We call it legal alignment.
Legal alignment. Okay.
Your skepticism is entirely justified here. The technology on its own means absolutely nothing if it doesn't translate to the physical world. Digital ownership records absolutely must correspond to enforceable off-chain legal rights.
So the code has to be legally binding. Like, it has to speak the exact same language as the course.
It has to be recognized by them, yes. If you hold a tokenized real estate asset, local property laws need to formally recognize that digital token as a valid deed.
Otherwise, you just own some useless code.
Exactly. I mean, the technology is phenomenal for reducing administrative friction. It makes distributing rent income or transferring the ownership of a building incredibly fast and practically error-free. But the long-term reliability of that token relies entirely on the marriage of technical safeguards with absolute legal clarity.
That makes perfect sense. So effective custody is really the technical perfection of the blockchain working hand in hand with human legal frameworks.
Right. You need both halves of the equation.
You want the immutable history so nobody can retroactively alter your rights, but you desperately need the legal backing to ensure those rights actually mean something to the government 10 or 20 years down the line.
And because this technology requires both perfect code and perfect legal compliance, you as an investor face this brutal ultimatum. Recognizing that this system requires active management and technical expertise, it forces a decision. Who do you actually trust to hold the keys?
Which brings us to the most practical decision any digital investor has to make. There are two very distinct paths you can take when investing in tokenized assets, and it really comes down to a fundamental trade-off between practical convenience and absolute control.
Yeah, we're talking about platform custody versus investor self-custody.
Okay, let's break those down. What does platform custody look like?
Let's examine platform custody first. In this model, a professional platform or institution steps in and completely manages the storage, the security, and the authorized transfers on your behalf.
So they are essentially acting as the digital bank vault.
In many ways, yes. This model heavily prioritizes ease of use. It significantly reduces the technical burden on the investor. When you use a platform, you usually benefit from built-in compliance, active regulatory oversight, and a clearly defined process for handling any disputes or issues.
So if something goes wrong, there's a customer service number to call.
Exactly. Because professionals are managing the technical side, meaning the cryptographic keys, the risk of a disastrous user error is dramatically lower.
It's for people who value simplicity and institutional protection. But on the complete opposite end of the spectrum is investor self-custody.
Right, the DIY approach.
Yeah. In this setup, you use a private digital wallet. You hold your own cryptographic keys. You have ultimate uncompromising autonomy. Nobody can freeze your account. Nobody can stop a transfer. And nobody can tell you what to do with your wealth.
But that autonomy comes with a massive, unforgiving caveat. You are taking on 100% of the responsibility.
There's no safety net.
None whatsoever. When you choose self-custody, you are suddenly acting as your own IT department, your own bank manager, and your own personal security detail, all rolled into one. And there is virtually zero regulatory oversight to help you if things go wrong.
The risks here are just visceral. I mean, with a normal bank, if you forget your password, you click forgot password, and they email you a link, right?
Yeah, it takes 5 minutes.
But with self-custody, if you lose your private keys, there is no one to call. Your wealth is cryptographically sealed forever in this impenetrable glass box that everyone on the internet can see, but absolutely no one can open.
Or consider the mechanics of just a simple transfer. If you want to send money to a friend's bank account and you type in the wrong account number, the bank will usually flag it, or they can reverse the transaction.
Right, there are human safeguards.
But in self-custody, if you make a typo in a blockchain address, like if you accidentally send your tokenized asset to a null address or a smart contract that isn't designed to receive it, the blockchain executes exactly what you told it to do.
Isn't that so? Are you sure?
Nope. The asset is permanently destroyed.
Man, that is horrifying. It really is the difference between keeping your life savings in a highly regulated, federally insured bank versus stuffing it all into a mattress and burying it in the woods.
That's exactly what it is.
You have total control of the woods. But with self-custody, if you forget which tree you buried it under, or a flood washes the dirt away, that money literally ceases to exist.
It's a harsh environment, and it really highlights why the choice between platform custody and self-custody shouldn't be taken lightly. It has to be dictated entirely by an investor's technical experience level, their risk tolerance, and how much they truly value ideological control over practical security.
But wait, let's look at the other side of the coin for a second. The terrifying reality of assets just ceasing to exist via a user error is bad. But what happens if you choose platform custody, you trust the institution, and the platform itself fails?
Right, the FTX scenario.
Exactly. We've seen massive digital exchanges collapse overnight. What happens when the bank vault itself implodes?
That is the nightmare scenario that keeps investors awake at night. To understand how you are protected in that situation, we have to make a very clear distinction between two concepts: asset risk and custody risk.
Okay, so asset risk. You know how to evaluate a bad investment, right? Like if you buy a house and the foundation is cracked or the roof caves in, that's asset risk. You just made a bad bet on the asset itself.
Exactly.
But custody risk is an entirely different beast.
It is. Imagine buying a perfectly good, structurally sound house in a great neighborhood. The asset is phenomenal, but the bank holding your paperwork accidentally shreds your deed, or a rogue employee steals it, and suddenly someone else legally claims they own your house.
Oh, wow.
That is custody risk. Even the highest quality, safest asset in the world can expose you to a total loss if the custody arrangement holding that asset is structurally weak. Failures in record keeping or governance can destroy an otherwise totally safe investment.
Okay, so back to the worst case scenario. A digital platform gets hacked, or the executives mismanage the company, and it goes bankrupt. It completely ceases operations. How does a strong custody framework actually protect the investor from losing everything?
The answer lies in a critical structural safeguard called asset segregation. Well-designed custody models actively and legally separate the investor's assets from the platform's own corporate operations and balance sheet.
Meaning they physically, well, I guess digitally and legally, cannot mix your money with their money to pay their electric bills or cover their corporate debts.
That's the core mechanism, yes. So if the platform goes bankrupt, the creditors will inevitably come looking for money. But because of asset segregation, your tokenized assets are not legally considered part of the platform's estate.
Oh, that's huge.
Right. The court recognizes that the platform was merely holding them for you. Combined with the independent, immutable digital ledger we discussed earlier, your ownership records remain perfectly intact. The platform's corporate entity might disappear entirely, but your ownership of the underlying asset does not.
To see how this works in practice, the Gamma blog points to their own OSOL platform as a working architectural example.
Yeah, it's a great case study.
Their system utilizes the platform custody model we just discussed. They handle the infrastructure, holding the keys so the user doesn't have to stress about losing a piece of paper with a password on it. But legally, they implement strict asset segregation to build that necessary firewall between their corporate funds and the investor's actual tokens.
And that approach directly addresses the biggest hurdle in digital finance, which is long-term continuity.
Right, because these aren't just day trades.
Exactly. As tokenized investments mature, we aren't just talking about holding a digital token for a few weeks to make a quick buck. Real estate tokens, infrastructure tokens, these assets might be held for 30, 40, or 50 years.
That's a long time in tech years.
It's an eternity. They will be transferred between different investors, moved across different technological platforms, and eventually inherited by the next generation.
So the custody framework has to be built to survive across decades.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just work today when the startup is flush with venture capital. It has to work half a century from now when the original founders are, you know, long gone.
Precisely. Clear custody standards ensure that investments survive across time, allowing for transfers or even estate planning without disruption. It creates a system that is agnostic to changes in server technology or turnover in platform personnel or even broader macroeconomic conditions.
Let me summarize this to make sure it's crystal clear for you listening. When you invest through a platform and they have proper asset segregation and legal alignment, that custody framework essentially acts as a firewall, right? You aren't blindly trusting the platform's business model to succeed forever. You are trusting their legal and structural firewall to protect your wealth when they inevitably face a crisis.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Custody risk management is not about magically eliminating all risk from the world. Businesses fail, markets crash, cyber attacks happen.
It's unavoidable.
Right. The goal of strong custody is to establish clear accountability, undeniable legal recognition, and guaranteed recoverability. It ensures that when a massive challenge arises, it results in a mere administrative inconvenience for the investor, like maybe waiting a few weeks for assets to transfer to a new custodian, rather than a permanent catastrophic wipeout of their wealth.
We have covered a phenomenal amount of ground today. Let's trace our steps back. We started by seeing how custody is truly the bedrock of the digital economy. It relies on mathematically flawless, immutable blockchain ledgers, our digital Jenga towers that act as our guards.
That foundation of trust.
Exactly. But we also established that those ledgers are utterly useless unless they are firmly connected to enforceable real-world laws. Code and courts absolutely have to speak the same language.
And navigating that reality forces the investor to make a deliberate strategic choice about who holds the keys. You weigh the convenience and protective compliance of platform custody against the uncompromising autonomy and severe danger of self-custody.
For you listening, the ultimate takeaway is empowerment. By understanding the actual mechanics of custody, you are now equipped to evaluate digital investment platforms critically. When you see a new platform offering tokenized assets, you can look right past the shiny promised returns, look past the sleek marketing website, and inspect the underlying vault. You need to ask the hard questions. Where is the legal alignment? What happens if I type in the wrong address? Do you have strict asset segregation?
As we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder. Building on a very brief mention in the Gamma blog regarding estate planning, it really highlights the ultimate paradox of this technology.
Oh, I love a good paradox. Lay it on us.
Consider the future of generational wealth in a fully tokenized world. Imagine an investor who fundamentally distrusts institutions. They choose pure self-custody. They take absolute, uncompromising control of their digital assets.
Total autonomy.
Right. They hold the cryptographic keys on a secure hard drive, locked in a floor safe. They are completely secure from platform bankruptcies, hackers, and corporate mismanagement. But then they unexpectedly pass away, and they never shared the recovery phrase with their spouse or their children.
Oh, man. That is heartbreaking.
It raises a genuinely chilling question. Over the next 50 years, how much tokenized wealth will eventually become ghost assets? We could be looking at billions, perhaps trillions of dollars in real estate, commodities, and equities, perfectly mathematically secure on the blockchain, yet forever and permanently unreachable by the very heirs they were meant to provide for.
Simply because the ultimate lock proved too strong for its own good.
Exactly.
You can build a digital safe so impenetrable that not even your own family can open it. It is a sobering reminder that as we digitize our wealth, we cannot forget the human element required to manage it. That gives us plenty to think about as we move further into the digital age of investing. That's all for today's deep dive. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.